Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Coca Talk. It's episode 19, and we have TM Frazier here with us. This is EM Abel, and before we get started, I want to go ahead and make a disclaimer that please don't hold any other COPA authors responsible for what we might say and what we may talk about. You want to kick your kids out of the room and expect some foul language and some adult conversation.
Yes, it's been guaranteed today.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hello.
I'm sorry, my thing went out, so I was like, hello? Sorry, there was a lull.
All right. Yeah. By the way, I'm Kelly Jean, and I was supposed to introduce TM Frazier, but M snatched that from me. So.
Dude, I'm sorry to you. I always fuck something up.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah,
well, then
so.
So I can say hi, Harry.
Yeah.
That's okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Please say hello.
Why hello?
About you?
Don't mind me.
Oh, man.
I've been writing, so I'm as I said before, I'm a hot mess. So this basically show, we should rename it to Hot Mess Express, because that would be a lot more fitting for my current state.
I mean, it's like 1 in the morning every time Kelly's on the show, and, you know, so who knows what state her mind's going to be in, and then I'm always just like, oh, what's going on? And I'm always like, I'll get on a roll and start talking, and then I end up saying stuff Kelly's supposed to say, and I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, that's what's the fun of it, though, you know?
Yeah, you'll fit in fine.
The unexpected. Oh, good. I fucked shit up, so I'll fit in fine.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
I like it.
All right, so we're going to talk about your books, obviously, but feel free to go off topic and give us a little extra information, because that's kind of what the show is about, is just giving readers maybe a glimpse into stuff or, you know, things that go on behind the scenes that they might not normally know. But Kelly and I...
The glamorous life? Are you
really...
talking about the glamorous life?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The totally glamorous part of being an author, you know, where you sit in your PJs with your bra off all day. And
I was going to say, I don't think I showered today. And the funny part about this is I really don't know. Like, I'll have to think about it some more. Should remember if I did or not.
Mm.
But I'm pretty sure the
answer is no. You know,
I always
sit there like, what day did I wash my hair? Like, I have to count back.
Oh, let's
and
don't
try to
story.
Figure
washing
it out.
Your hair is for, like, fancy occasions, like going somewhere.
Yeah,
and that I couldn't tell you.
Right,
I had to mark it on the calendar.
Like onion.
They need like an app, like, you know, like a calendar app, like when I wash my hair so I actually remember. That'd be awesome. People are going to be tuning in and go, wow, these people are gross.
I know, right? Like, ew.
We are.
Sorry.
Sometimes I gross myself
Well,
out.
You know.
Mm. Yeah, I dropped my daughter
onion,
on
know.
School the other day. And one of the ladies like, oh, you look different. What'd you do? I'm like, I showered and I changed my pajamas into other pajamas. And she was like, I thought you did something. I'm like, yeah.
Oh,
that's
man. Yeah. That's like, I'll like ask Kelly, like, so how's your day going? She's like, well, I showered. I'm like, oh, well, awesome. You're already
I feel like
the game.
A step in the positive direction. It should be celebrated.
Yeah, for sure. Like, people don't realize how hard that is.
It is, especially when you're, but it is true, like when you're in a zone, you know, like, or you're in a chapter and you don't want to get out, it's hard to be like, okay, but now I have to go shower and do this and take care of the house, and because once you're going, it's hard to stop because you don't want to lose your momentum.
Yeah, for sure. But once you take a shower, then you realize the pile of laundry and the pile of dishes, and it's like, oh, God. You get totally distracted.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did today. And we're leaving tomorrow on a little family vacation. My husband's family does like a little annual vacation in the Georgia Mountains. And I'm like, oh, I have to pack
this
stuff. So I stopped writing today and I'm like, oh, wow. And then we're bringing the baby. It's her first plane ride. So the list of like stuff that we normally bring on vacation suddenly got like triple the size longer.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And it's amazing how
the smallest
working vacation. So I'll be writing too. So that's even more. So I'm like, nothing that wine can't cure.
Man. Yeah, I remember the first time I took my son on the airplane. I was like, please don't scream and cry the whole time.
Well,
he did all
lucky
right.
For us, it's a short flight. It's like an hour and 35 minutes, I think, from where we are in South of Florida to Atlanta. So it's not too bad. So I figure for her first one, we're not going to take her, you know, to like Europe or anything.
Oh, God, yeah, that'd be awful.
Awful.
My daughter went. I flew with my daughter when she was a year and a half from Japan to the States, and that was horrible. Like, every time I moved, she cried because she fell on the lever and she didn't know where the hell she was. So, like, she'd fall asleep and then I'd have to go pee. Then I'd have to wake her up and take her with me to the bathroom. It was awful. Anyway.
I just actually had to tell my husband that dinner is done and in the oven because I forgot about it. I really hope it's not burnt.
Oh, no.
And that was a while ago.
By the way, I did try to cook.
No, the cooking is the one thing I do, though, because actually we do that, like the HelloFresh delivery service. So
it
gives you like 4 days a week, and it doesn't make the food for you, but it gives you the recipe and all the ingredients. Because what would happen is we realize like it's 4:30, we got to go pick up, you know, the baby, we have to do this, we have to do that, and then going to the grocery store is like half the battle. And figuring out what to eat is even worse. So this delivers it. And then I like to cook because I don't have to worry about all the rest of the stuff, you know. And we have something different every night.
Yeah.
That's my one thing that I do every night is I do cook.
That's kind of like the Blue Apron thing where they, like, send you a box with all the ingredients and everything.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
We did Blue Apron, but they only deliver 3 days a week. So we got HelloFresh because it does 4.
Okay.
And my laziness is much more than
3 days
a week.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good idea. It's a really good idea, too, like, especially, you know, with just the two of you and, you know, your daughter. I mean, like, they're not huge portions, right?
No, they're not, and there's no waste either. Because, you know, when you go to buy ingredients at a store and you come back and it's, like, way more than you need, and you make, like, so much, and then no one eats it. So this is everything's portioned, everything. So you've got fresh herbs and everything. There's no waste. You just follow the recipe, and there you go.
Cool.
I feel like we should do a cooking show.
I know, right? Like, I don't know. To be like, can you give me some recipes?
You just tuned in to Copa Food Talk.
Copa Chef.
Well, you'd be surprised how much we talk about food on this show. Authors love their food.
Food
yet to find one that was like, yeah. Oh, man.
No. And I was talking to my friend, who's my assistant, Julie, and we go back and forth because she's a really good, like, health person. And she's like, oh, I shouldn't eat that. There's gluten in it. I'm like, what the fuck language is that? I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's a protein in wheat.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know these big words.
I do.
I'm a writer. What are these big words?
It's a wheat protein.
Oh,
I don't eat gluten either.
Be the smart one in the group. Jeez.
I know. Oh, my gosh, you don't know how many times I'll say stuff, and Kelly's like, well, actually, I'm like, oh, God. Why do you have to be so fucking smart all the time?
I don't know where I get the information. It's just here, okay?
I know.
I know useless information. I don't know anything important. Everything I know is useless factoids that would pretty much win me, like, a pop culture, like, trivia show, but that's pretty much all I'm good for.
Yeah.
Happens.
Nothing like that could actually save someone's life or anything.
Nothing like that.
All right, so Kelly and I, first of all, are really big fans of Dark Light of Day, just so you know. So
huge.
We want to start off talking
huge
about
fans.
That book.
I know you guys have been with me from the beginning. That's my beginning, my Dark Light of Day, my Jake and Abby.
Mm. I know.
Yeah, those are my people. That was my first book, so that's always going to be really, really, really special to me. It's my book baby is what I always call it.
It blew
so
my
for,
mind. When I read that, hell yeah. Go on.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I mean, like,
excited.
I remember I met you in Atlanta at the one of the author signings out there, and I hadn't read the book yet, but I remember that Pam Godwin had said how good it was, so I was like, well, Pam says, you know, it's got to be good. So I, like, made sure to buy a signed copy from you, and I read it and was like, holy shit, I'm glad that I read this after I met her because I would have made a fool of myself in front of you, like, fangirling. And so, like, I remember, like, when me and Kelly started talking, and I told her, like, you've got to read The Dark Light of Day. So it was, like, instant, as soon as she read it, we're both like, oh, my God.
I think I was yelling
so glad you guys like
it.
See, that book is so different than the other things that I've written, only because it's not sexually driven. Like, it's not the end game isn't, like, the couple specifically getting together. It's about, like, kind of very much their, like, weird journey that they have. And so a lot of the reaction to The Dark Light of Day is very different than my other books, because it's for The Dark Light of Day, you either love it or you hate it. There really is no, that was okay. You know what I mean? So
well,
people feel
really
hassled
it
one way or the other way, you know?
Yeah. It's not a lukewarm type of story. So you kind of do ignite either absolute hatred or complete love for it. So, which means you did
their
job.
All the best books do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain parts of that book, looking back, that now that I'm a mom, I couldn't have written. You know, if I would have write that book now, there's certain parts that I couldn't. So it's good that I wrote it when I did, and I couldn't, because there's certain things that, you know,
I mean,
moms
like,
are triggered now, you know, that really
it,
upset you.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's certain things, and that's also why after The Dark Light of Day, I took such a long hiatus after I got pregnant, and I pushed King back like 3 or 4 times, because it's so hard to write dark and dirty when you've got like happy feet tickling your stomach, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You have to get to that place, and you can't really do it when you're like picking out baby furniture.
Yeah, you definitely have to be like in that state of mind, I guess, and yeah, just being pregnant alone with all the hormones and everything is just makes you like crazy. So,
You lose brain cells. I was the stupidest pregnant person in the world.
Yeah.
I walked out the door with my maternity pants on backwards and inside out for the entire day. Didn't know until I got home. I'm talking like pockets hanging out and everything. Like, there's no way a normal person would not know. And you know, as a pregnant person, you pee like 500 times. I should have noticed at some point. But no one took pity on me and told me.
Like,
they're probably like, "Oh, that
home," and you're like,
poor.
"Oh, shit."
Yeah, no one took pity on me. They weren't like, "Oh, that poor pregnant lady. I should really tell her." They were like, "Haha, look at her."
Oh, oh man, horrible. That's awful. Someone should have said something.
No, my husband wouldn't. He's the kind of person where if I had like food on my face, he'd let me sit like that all day. He thinks it's funny.
Yeah, I think
that's
great. Doing that too.
Should we do a question?
We did the first one. Yeah, so for like listeners that haven't read The Dark Light of Day, how would you describe the story to them?
Oh, that's kind of a hard one. You know, actually for me,
the
hardest question when I'm at a signing is like, what is your book about? And then I have like deer in the headlights. I go,
yes. Things. Yes, I do too.
And stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You're this chick and
so these things that happen and stuff, right? And then like, wow. So like, no, The Dark Light of Day is about Abby and Jake. And Abby is a teenager. She's 17 when the book starts. She's had a hellish childhood. And what I really wanted to show was that the main characters in the book are Jake and Abby, but there's other characters in the book that aren't people. Like the town of Coral Pines is like a whole other entity. And I kind of wanted to show with that book, like there's good doesn't really mean good, bad doesn't really mean bad, you know, that there's the gray line that a lot of people walk, and there's not necessarily, you know, the clear black and white. So there's a lot of that running theme in the book. And honestly, I took a bunch of towns from where I live and I combined it into this one little town. And writing about the town, it was another character for me. And I had so much joy writing this book, but it had such dark moments. But I think the people who say that they love it really can find that joy within all of the bad stuff, you know? So it was very interesting for me to write, because I didn't set out to write anything dark. That wasn't my intention. I actually set out to write like a light romantic, like beach comedy, because there's a lot of humor in everything I write. And this is legit.
Didn't
this
work out
like, well, I mean, I failed miserably.
I'm trying
not to
laugh
just start
at you,
there.
But my God.
It was supposed to be like a light,
oh,
beachy romance, and I failed.
You did.
Well, you failed marvelously, I think.
It
but I'm so happy that I failed. Because I found my way, you know, by failing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
so,
I think a lot of it was Abby's story. Just, I don't know, I was just pulling for her so much and watching all the struggles that she went through and persevered through was just like, I don't know, it was amazing. It's so touching. And usually when you watch characters go through these horrible, dark things, it just connects you to them more, you know, it's like you feel for them more.
Yeah.
Well, if you notice in a lot of my books too, though, I do have a running theme of strong heroines. I don't like
mm-hmm.
writing. I mean, they have weak moments, but they're strong characters. You know, even when you have the face of the big, you know, dark alpha male, I don't have anyone that cowers. You know, like they've been through so much, but they're strong too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thing for me. Like when I read a book, that's what I like to read. So that's a tendency of like how I write as well.
Yeah,
the,
sure.
The girl in Preppy's book is a force to be reckoned with. She's pretty awesome.
I imagine she's going to have to be something like Harlequin.
She's...
I'm like, she's going to be some crazy
She's going to be a crazy bitch.
You know what? That's funny. Because everyone, when I said that I was writing a Preppy book, everyone was like, oh, you're going to put Preppy with Rage before all the Rage came out. And for those who don't know, you know, Rage is a character that I introduced in Bayer's books, in Lawless and Solace. And I was like, no, that would be like a bomb. Like, that's, you know, he needs someone to counterbalance him, not like, yeah, that would be an explosion. They would literally kill each other. Like, no joking, they would kill each other. So
yeah.
I thought that was like a really funny thing that people put together. But yeah, I'm... Preppy's Girl is going to be pretty awesome. I'm enjoying writing that story very, very much right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know where to go from here.
Em, help. How did you come up with the idea for The Dark Light of Day? Like, was there a specific thing that kind of inspired or a story? Or
wow.
Was it you started writing one book and then something else came out of it?
I kind of wrote... I would say like 20,000 words of something that was complete and utter shit. And then I was, for some reason, I had this idea of there's like a brutal scene in the middle. And if you read it, you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Suddenly
yes,
like
yeah.
that came to me. And so forgetting kind of the first part of the book, I wrote that scene. So I wrote from
mm-hmm.
that scene to the end. And then I went back and rewrote the beginning. And
oh.
the thing
oh,
that kind of
okay.
triggered... The thing that kind of triggered, and I write out of order completely. Like, I'm talking like scene by scene, like a movie, and you know, like it's just completely, it's so messed up. Someone would think I'm schizophrenic if you look at my notes. well, and also as writers, we kind of hear voices. We are kind of a little something, right?
Yeah, yeah, I know. Like we talk about voices, like it's totally normal to hear voices in your head.
I was talking to my sister today, and she's like. I was like, oh, hold on one second. She goes, is that the voices in your head? Are you saying, like, hold on, one person at a time? I'm like, shut up. and the funny, also music is very inspirational to me. The character
yeah,
for
okay.
Jake in Dark Light of Day was actually completely started because I heard the song Hell on an Angel by Brantley Gilbert. And the first words of the song is, I was baptized in dirty water by the hands of the devil himself. And that line to me all of a sudden like formed this person in my head. So he was completely
Excellent.
Inspired by that song. And I even thanked, you know, Brantley Gilbert in the acknowledgments of my book, even though, you
oh,
know,
that's
obviously.
Awesome.
And so I've been to like 3 of his concerts and I want him to like sign my book. But I never get the meet and greet like tickets in time. I think I've been to like three or four. I never get them in time. So one day I have my fingers still crossed. But
one
yeah,
day,
like
yeah, you can
thing.
Still do it. Absolutely.
I'm
we were talking
it.
About that with Anne last week, how, like, we've always got to have music playing when we're writing and how it, like, affects your mood when you're writing. Like, you can't be writing happy scenes when you're listening to depressing music or, you know, it just plays so much
right.
of a part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
so
a country
this is a question
fan.
I have.
I like country music. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I like to ask a lot of authors this because I kind of see a trend. Like, a lot of times in their debut novels, they identify with the heroine most in their debut novels than any of their others. Is that the same for you and Abby?
Not even a little bit.
No?
And the only reason... No, and the only reason, I mean, in looks I would say yeah, because, you know, as writing, you know, I write she's 5'2 with red hair, you know, that's
yeah,
blue
yeah.
eyes, I mean, that's me, but I don't identify with her in any way but her strength, because honestly, people ask me all the time, they're like, in your, like, what was so wrong about your childhood, did you go through all the things she went through, I mean, that has to be personal, I'm like, I grew up in the suburbs with my mom, my dad, my sister, my parents are still married after 40 years. I'm like, nope, I got nothing. I was like, they were nice to me. My poor father, he came to a book signing and I was signed at Barnes & Noble in Sarasota. And one of the questions was, you know, what do your parents think about these things? You know, people ask me if they did these things to you. And I'm like, I don't know, Dad, what do you think? No, but I did tell them, you know, and one lady says, does your parents know what you write? I'm like, well, my parents are here. I'm like, but I was like, they definitely know what I write. My mom reads all my books, and my dad doesn't read them, but he knows what I
yeah.
write. And he's very
yeah,
supportive.
That's how my parents are, too.
So I'm like, at one point, you just have to say, you know, I'm 30-something years old. Pick up your skirt, grab your balls, and do what you want to do. And whoever's there to support
yeah.
you is there to support you. And that's it, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm lucky
sure,
enough to have...
Sure.
You know, my in-laws support me. They read my books, both my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. So, yeah, I have a great support system.
Oh, my gosh.
I refuse to let
my books hear my
in-laws.
We were having a talk the other day with my father-in-law, me, my sister, and my father-in-law. And my sister's like, you had no idea your husband married such a freak, did you? And I was like, oh, my God.
Gee,
like, I feel my face burning.
You know what I
mean?
I don't get embarrassed
by it. He just, like,
it.
Clamped his mouth shut. It was so funny.
That is hilariously funny. That really is so funny. But I don't really get embarrassed by it because I just kind of think I'm an adult. Like, so I write about adult-themed things. And if you don't
yeah.
like it, you don't have to read it. And I really
yep.
I don't even get embarrassed about it because it's just, I mean, who we are. And I was with my dad, and we were in Canada and for a family event, and we were sitting there going over shirtless pictures of guys for covers. That he, I was like, Dad, what do you think of this one? He's like, you know. So it's kind of what we do. I don't know. It's weird. And I grew up in a very like conservative household. I went to Catholic school, you know. Like we, it's that's probably where it started, but, you know, all my problems.
Well, I mean, it's good that they support you, you know, and I mean, because
yeah.
you hear the stories of, like, you know, people's families like completely disowning them and stuff when they read their books. It's crazy.
It's just,
or writing
I
under
think
a pen
about
name.
It, yeah, I mean, you look at a rated R movie and say, oh, the screenwriter, I'm going to disown them because they wrote this movie, you know? I mean,
mm-hmm. yeah,
it's the same concept. What we do is, like, I like to tell people I write like a rated R movie, but I don't say the black during the sex scene, you know? So I try to give them like a overview of it, you know?
More like NC-17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, I will say there's a couple people who I know that when they're, like, introducing me to someone, they're like, oh, she writes porn. And that,
oh, God,
to me,
sure.
is like,
it's not. It's
I know
not
what porn is. I mean, there's porn out there, and there's short, you know, stories that are really good and really sexual, mm-hmm. and I think absolutely that's fantastic. I just don't think that's what I specifically do. I'm not, like, offended by it. I just think it's inaccurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of
so,
people that see romance as a genre anyway as being kind of a lower grade. Like, it's not literature. It's just books. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different
and that's bullshit.
Grade of writing. And there's, like, a whole stigma around it.
That bothers me only because it doesn't give enough credit because it takes a lot I think more of something to relay relationships than just a story. I mean, to create
mm-hmm.
worlds and everything every author does is absolutely fantastic. Romance, you have to create chemistry, relationships, you know,
yep.
the most complicated things that humans can create, emotions, feelings. I think it's
yeah.
harder in some cases.
I mean, and to make, like, thousands of people fall in love with somebody. You know what I mean? With everyone's different tastes and their different preferences, but for them to still feel invested enough in characters to feel, you know,
to
call them their best boyfriend. So it's like,
I get blown away. Like, I am so, like, in awe of the readers when they come to signings and they're wearing their, you know, King's Pup shirts or, you know, I Love Puppy, you know, Mrs. Samuel Clearwater, the ones that they make and stuff, and they're wearing bow ties and suspenders. There's these girls in Vegas that did all sorts of stuff. Oh, my God. I get so overwhelmed that they love these characters that I created so much.
Yeah,
and they do things like that, and it's just, I think that is just awesome. Like, it blows me away.
Well, I mean, that's got to be the best part of it all, isn't it?
It is incredible. Meeting the readers is the best part of it. I never thought anyone would read my book. And, like, when I read The Dark Light of Day, I never thought anyone would read it. I was like, all right, okay, I got a book. I think the first day it came out, it went to, like, number 300 in the Kindle store, which for a debut, which you've never written anything else, for me, it was, like, the most phenomenal thing in the world. And
yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
that's
oh, my God, people are reading it. Like, that was the weirdest thing in the entire world. And then when people say that they were, like, falling in love with Abby and Jake and they loved them, and I was like, that's crazy. Like, what world do I live in that this happens? You know?
Now, did you get, like, the second book jitters? Or, like, because, like, I hear from a lot of people, especially with me, it was like, once the first one's out there and you're getting all this good feedback, you're like, holy crap, now I got to do it again. And there's, like, all this new pressure that you didn't have when you were writing the first book.
I'm not going to lie. My first instinct is completely lie and say, no, there's no pressure. I do what I want.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a pressure. I think preppy, the pressure is pretty bad.
Oh gosh, I can only imagine.
Okay, after The Dark Light of Day, I had the story for King in mind for a long time. So that wasn't really too much pressure because I knew it was a different type of story and I knew it would reach different readers. So that wasn't too bad. So King and Tyrant were better. I say the one for Bear was hard because I kind of second guessed myself a little bit. And that kind of made me mad because that's, you know, like you have authors that have like 6 million beta readers, you know, like I don't need to do that because I want to be able to trust my own opinion. And then it, you know, I
sometimes
felt like I kind
too much influence can kind of mess things up.
Yeah. And so for the, so for Preppy's books, I kind of just am doing my own thing. Like, I have a few beta readers, but I send them the scenes that I write. Of course, they're out of order. So to be a beta reader of mine, you have to be, like, absolutely mental. I just want to know how it makes you feel. You know what I mean? I don't want to know what you would change, you know, what – I want to know, like, did I say she's wearing a skirt in one sentence and jeans in the next? And I want to know how does this make you feel and does it make you want to keep reading? Because that way I can go with my own opinion, and it's more genuine. I'm not saying my own opinion is, like, the bestest thing in the world, because it's not, obviously. But
it's your
mine,
story.
And which makes the, it makes the story more genuine when I just keep it to me. So I'm holding Preppy very tight to me because I don't want to
Yeah, well, I can imagine because, I mean, he's been around for, you know, a few books now, and so it's, I'm sure, like, everyone's got their idea of what he looks like and, you know, what he should do and how he should act and what his story should be like. And, you know, if you start listening to all that, it's just going to be – you're going to go bonkers.
I will say when I released
the cover –
just
thinking about it, I'm like, oh, thank God I'm not writing that book.
what did I really – thanks a lot.
I feel for you. I feel for you, really. But, I mean, I think it's smart to just kind of keep it close and –
best kind of bad problem to have, you know what I mean? It's when people come up to me at signings and they're like, does your hand hurt from signing so much? I'm like, you will never hear me complain about that.
Exactly.
What author is complaining about that? Because that's ridiculous. Like, this is the best problem I've ever had. Like, I'll have purple tunnel.
Yes.
I'll chop my hand off and give it to you. Like, it's fine.
It could definitely be worse.
Preppy is definitely challenging in the fact that, there is a ton of pressure. But Preppy's also the character that's more like me than anyone else, and not in, like, the messed up way, but in, like, the way he thinks, the way he talks, the way he kind of talks over himself, and he has, like, like his brain's like a mush of things, so he'll go from like one thing to another very quickly. Like that's how my brain works. So, because Preppy wasn't supposed to be a character originally in King, he wasn't. Preppy was my sarcastic notes that I wrote in the margin when things were getting too heavy. So there was all these sarcastic things that I just, you know, when you have like a sentence and you don't know where to put it, so you just put it on the side until you can get to it later.
Uh-huh.
Preppy was all of those put, and then I finally gave a character to.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
He's kind of me. He's my comment.
Yeah. he's the smart ass.
Yeah, that's what it is, you know. And he's a comedic relief. So the challenge in writing his book is to not have the whole thing just be comedy, because he's funny.
Comedy, yeah. Yeah, well,
so,
I mean,
it's dark humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and you know, in the beginning, he did seem like, you know, he's the comic relief, the side character. I mean, he was very pivotal in the story, but then, you mm-hmm. know, like even Kelly and I have said, like, how is she going to convince us to fall in love with Preppy? Now, a lot of people love Preppy, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but Kelly and I are like, we remember the stuff that he did to women, you know what I mean? We're like,
right.
He's a crazy SOB.
We're some of the few people that are like, hold up. I don't know if I want that guy around me.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I was kind of in not shock, because, you know, someone who's funny can, you know, get away with other things. But I was definitely surprised at the response to his character, especially because people were so willing to overlook the really dark things he did, but he doesn't have an excuse for it, but he does have a reason. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not, he did have his own set of really rough things happen to him that kind of gave him a warped perception of what right and wrong is.
Yeah.
You know, especially when it comes to sex and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's messed up.
But in his book, you kind of figure out, like, where that comes from, like, a little bit more. And you get to know a lot about him, not just, you know, from where Solas left off, but from everything. Like, you just learn a lot about him. That's why I gave him, that's why he has three books, because it's going to be a lot.
He's got three books?
Yeah, we didn't even know
three
that.
Three books. Yeah.
I didn't know
Holy
that.
Holy shit.
Part one, part two, and part three. Yep.
Woo.
Oh, wow. I bet
the
fans are happy to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I've announced it a couple of times, but, you know, Facebook hides everything. So the majority of the things that I see are from, this, like, the same four people. I never see a lot of things, and I feel bad. So I'm like,
it drives
if I make a share or something, I'm like, oh, my God, like, their book came out yesterday. I didn't even know it. Like, how'd that happen? Because sometimes I don't see things.
Facebook sucks. I mean, just with the whole, like, boost your post so people can see it. It's like, well, why did I spend all this time doing takeovers and getting likes and, you know what I mean? Like, all this work getting likes on my page, and now I still have to pay to so people can see stuff. Like,
and I understand it. Like, I do like to put myself in everyone's shoes. So what I do is when I'm presented with something that I am very quick to want to give an opinion on, I would go, okay, so let's look at it from Facebook's perspective. They need to make money because it's a business.
Yeah.
So how is there to make money? That's kind of the only way you can really do it, like with sponsored ads. But at the same time, that should just be reaching more people. I do believe that the stuff that you post on your page should reach the majority of your 30,000. You know, I have 30,000 people. My posts reach like 10,000 people at the most, you know, with if I don't sponsor them. So it's like, I do believe I should be able to reach those people and then pay in addition if I want to reach more people.
If you want to reach more, exactly.
But right now,
and it's
like,
not like they
so
weren't already making tons of money before they started that too.
But it's like you go to Boosted Post and we'll go, would you like to reach the people who liked your page? I'm like, I fucking would like to reach the people who like my page. Like, is this a thing?
Exactly.
Is this a question? I'm like, I'm looking around for the person to jump out with a camera who's punking me. Of course I would like to reach the people who like my page.
Mm.
Yeah, I know.
That's why the page exists.
Yeah.
I know.
But,
really.
You know, we all say we hate it so much, but we're all slaves to it, you know?
We really are.
I've very much been enjoying Instagram lately, though. I mean, I know it's not the same thing. I think Facebook and Instagram both have their place. But I've really been, like, stepping up my Instagram game.
Yeah, we
love
Instagram
too. Love it.
Basically what I like to call it
it's
is
like,
it's baby
it's
Fraser.
It's like, you know, when you tell people to just shut up and look pretty, like, you can, that's what Instagram is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. I love Instagram. I tell people,
I'm like an asshole sometimes.
I'm like,
I get so tired of listening to people like rant sometimes. I'm just like, let's just go to Instagram. Well, all I have to do is look
yep.
at pictures.
Yeah.
Pretty buff bearded men. Oh,
yeah, exactly, right? It's like, yeah. It's so funny because I think I don't follow like any celebrities. I follow like mostly like authors and stuff. Then I realize I do follow two celebrities. I follow Ryan Reynolds and Ron Perlman. And you know Ron Perlman's Hellboy and he's in Sons of Anarchy. I'm like,
yep.
These are the two celebrities I follow. I think this says a lot about me.
He was the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, a television show, like, in the 80s.
Yeah,
you know.
I like Ron Perlman. I watch all his movies and what he's in.
You know who I follow a lot on Instagram? Josh Mario John.
The entire time.
Dude, I've been dying to hit that button. I've been dying to, and then I saw my opening. Like, I'm over here, like, wiggling my eyebrows, like, oh, yeah.
That is absolutely hilarious.
Your finger was hovering over that button for a while.
Yes, I know. And when the Lawless and Soulless covers came out, I was like, holy shit. Like, I just want to frame
them
on my wall.
So for those who don't know, Lawless and Soulless covers are Josh Mario John.
Yes.
And
he, AKA M's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't know.
You know what? I saw originally just saw a picture of him like on Facebook somewhere. And as I was just getting ready to start writing his book, and I was like, what a great like muse to use for it. So
I
contacted his photographer. And I got two pictures. And the funny thing is that my husband actually picked those pictures out. So definitely give him credit for that one.
He has good taste.
He does, actually. And the All the Rage cover, and I do my own covers. Like, I do the design for him. So I did, I had, like, five different covers for All the Rage. And finally had the one, like, that we winded up with. And my husband's like, that one. Yes, that one. I'm like, okay, well, if it gets that strong of a reaction, then that's the one I'm going with.
That's awesome.
Yeah, actually,
like, your husband has gotten really popular in the whole book world, too. Like, that's, I mean, it's also good that, you know, it's awesome to have such a supportive husband in the, you know, I understand that some people aren't that supportive, but I bet it's been pretty cool for him, too, to watch.
I would have never written The Dark Light of Day without him. Because one night we're, like, having, like, a drunken conversation about life. And I was like, you know what I really want to do, babe? And he's like, I know you said you wanted to write books. He's like, you should do it. He's like, I'll support you. And that's when I was still working full time. So I'd come home after working full time, and then I'd write, you know, all night and on the weekends and every spare second that I got. And without him, like, being there to support me, you know, to slip food under the door and, you know, all the things, crazy things that people need to do to make sure the author stays alive, I would never, ever have even started writing it. And he's like, it is very much a team effort. Like, the signing, the traveling, the everything, like, the business aspect end. I never expected there to be such a big business aspect end. He goes and sits down and meets with the accountant and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Stuff that numbers scare me. Like, I don't want to do page numbers. So, like, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he loves it. We went to our first book signing, which was Wicked Book Weekend, when I only had The Dark Light of Day out. I think it was, like, 2014, maybe. And he thought it was – he's not a reader, but he definitely knows what all my books are about, and he does the audios. So he thought going into, like, Wicked Book Weekend that it was going to be, like, a bunch of intellectuals, like, discussing, like, War and Peace. And then all of a sudden, Kara Civic gets on the megaphone and goes, dildo races in 5 minutes. And he's like, I fucking love this place.
So it
was awesome. And he's such, like, a friendly face. Too. And
he's always smiling.
He
all
loves
the
readers.
I
just
see
as
him.
Yeah, he's happy. He's a happy person.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves the readers just as much as I do. Like, he makes sure, you know, no person is standing there alone. He wants to include everybody. And you know, we always invite readers and stuff out for drinks after the event.
That,
and, you know,
that
awesome.
Makes me wonder too, like, a lot of your pictures, you guys look so happy and so smiley. And I'm like, where do you get all this, like, you know, gritty kind of like dark storylines and stuff from? Because you seem to have such a happy, bright life. I'm like, where does this, that you're like, attract
too much
dark
TV growing up or
something. Come from?
I think I just watched too much TV growing up. Maybe I just watched too much TV is what I keep thinking. I don't know. You know what? I really
like,
don't
did you,
know.
You know, were you, like, painting your nails black and listening to Marilyn Manson all the time or what?
No. I'm naturally blonde. I was a little blonde hair, blue-eyed, like, I don't know.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't even like
it
scary movies.
It comes from somewhere.
I can watch a
really?
Little bit of more violent movies, but I don't like scary movies. I'm telling you that the commercials for the scary movies give me nightmares.
Oh man!
So it's weird.
So you don't
that,
have like real life friends in prison or anything like that.
What
no,
kind of research
I
did you do?
I know some people. But...
I know
you
some people.
Yeah, I'm like, there's something going on.
I don't do
here.
A lot of research. If the research that I do does not involve getting the answers from Google in the actual selection, I don't want to click on the link. I want the answer before I click on the link. So if I ask Google a question and the answer doesn't come in the selections, then I'm just going to skip over it.
Okay.
The extent of my laziness is strong.
It's strong.
Like a force.
Well, I mean, Google can pretty much tell you anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love Google.
And it helps, you know, like who you know. You can always just call, you know, hit up your friends and be like, you know, what drug does this again or whatever.
the best part is that when I'm writing and I'll open the door to, like, shout a question out to my husband, I'll be like, babe, you know, if someone's going to stab somebody, what they use? And I got to give him options. He's like, oh, definitely this. I'm like, all right, thanks. He doesn't even question it anymore. He's not like, what the hell is wrong with you? He just goes with it. Like, it's just a normal thing.
Yeah.
Just, like, picking up out pictures of shirtless dudes. Like, just a normal thing.
Yeah. I mean,
kind of
I was doing the same thing with my last book. I was, like, asking my husband, like, so what happens, like, if I divorce you? Like, do I get half of everything? And he's like, what? But, like, my character was, you know, married to someone in the military, and they were getting divorced, so I wanted to research it. I'm like, yeah, it's just for a book,
right.
I promise. He's kind of looking at me like, sure.
You know, what's funny is that as far as, I don't know how to explain what I was just trying to say. Yeah, I lost my train of thought. It went away.
That's
happens,
fine.
You know?
We'll just keep going.
We've got a question for you. How much has living in Florida influenced your books, do you think?
Oh, that's actually what I was just about to say, too.
Oh,
when
cool.
We talked about research, I was going to... Okay,
look at that.
Tie this all together. I totally planned this. it influenced it a lot. I actually started writing a book a long time ago that I'll never publish because it's awful, but... that takes place in New York, because it's one of my favorite cities in the world. And I'm actually from Long Island, but New York City is what I was writing about. And I was like, you know, when I started a new project, The Dark Light of Day, I was like, I want to write about where I've been living since I was 8 years old, you know? So the town, Coral Pines in The Dark Light of Day is a mixture between Cape Coral and Pine Island.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I call
okay.
it Coral Pine. And then in King, Logan's Beach, is a mixture of a couple of different areas, Sanibel, Fort Myers, Florida, even got some, like, LaBelle out there. So I mix towns together and kind of create my own. And the reason why that ties into research is because I really don't want to write about a specific town because, gosh forbid, that you get something wrong.
Yes.
Or slightly inaccurate.
Because
you
readers
know.
Have Google, too.
Yeah, you know, and I still mess up. I still mess up, for sure. Like, I wrote I think it was in King, where they're at the carnival, and a little kid's, like, winning up. King goes to give up the penguin to like, the big stuffed penguin to a little boy. He's like, someone said something about, you know, penguins are the only birds that can't fly or something like that. I got, like, 12 emails about, that's not true. There's so many different birds that can't fly. I'm like, seriously. I'm
chickens
stupid.
Can't
just
fly.
Go with it.
Oh, man.
Like, just go with the stupidness. Like,
that's
I just write back. I'm just not.
My editor would would catch. Like, she back checks everything. I'm just like, crap,
oh my God,
I can't get anything faster.
Cool.
I'm just like, I'm not very bright.
we have the same editor, and that woman is thorough. You can't get away with shit with her.
Okay, I had this scene where I said, like, she paused and looked up to the left to think about, you know, the character looked up to the left to think about her answer, and she was like, I researched this, and that's right, you look to the left because that's the side of the brain you would use to figure out the answer for. I was like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah, no, that's actually true. I actually
right,
know that.
It
that's
been
the
wrong
part. When someone asks you a question, they look to the left is creating, the right is pulling out information you already have. So when you look to the left, you already have a tendency to be lying.
See, that's crazy.
Ooh.
But
I
have a tendency not
to
know.
Right.
I never know what a person's left and right side are. Like, is it my left or right? Is it their left and right? I'm the kind of person, like, if I go to a workout class, I have to stand in the same position as the teacher because I cannot mirror image them. So that would just fuck me up in general.
So you're, like, the only student facing the other way?
Yeah, absolutely, because I can't
do
it.
Oh, my God,
like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, I think I've tried it, like, 3 or 4 times, and it just never worked out for me. My brain just does work that way. There are certain things it's good at, and there's other things where it's just like, it's like numbers. Geometry, anything like that.
I hate math. All math.
Geography,
actually.
I don't know where anything is.
Oh, my gosh. It's embarrassing how little I know. I'm always, like, Googling stuff. Hold on. What country do you live in?
Why don't you? Well, where do you live, Ian? What state do you live in?
I live in Virginia.
Or can you say that? Okay. Well, see, Virginia, I got a little bit of an idea of Virginia because I've been to D.C. So I know things that are on, like, the coast. Once you, like, throw things in the middle, I'm like, I have no idea where that is.
It's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, like, if you gave me a map to fill out, like, it would be really bad. You should actually do that and video it, like, me filling out what the states are, because it would be all wrong.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Like, if you told me to point out Ohio, I would be embarrassed because I wouldn't know.
I think
my 7-year-old daughter is better at than I am.
Yeah, but
when you're
I'm
school
sure.
like that, you know, it's pretty much knowledge that's fresh in her mind. And once she, like, gets out of school, she's going to forget it because that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
General location. I don't know, you know, borders, country borders and state borders and shit like that.
Well, and that's why I make up towns. Like, unless I really know what I'm talking about, I don't really feel comfortable writing about a bunch of other places. And I love writing about Florida only because they're so, like, Florida, they got some crazy fucking shit down here. Like, craziest stuff in the world is Florida. Like,
it's
and not
all
just
in Florida.
Well, this is
no,
the
I'm
thing.
Totally
Ever, like,
agreement.
I've had people send me emails, and they're good emails and they're good questions because if you're not familiar with Florida, you don't understand. But they'll be like, okay, so in this book you mentioned, like, farmland and orange groves, because I do in Lawless and Soulless. Thea lives on an orange grove, but it's also close to Logan's Beach, which is, like, you know, Caribbean sand and water, which is also rednecks, which, you know, like, farm town with, you know, truck poles and all sorts of stuff too, which is in all the rage, and it's all within 20 minutes of each other. So we have everything. We have beaches, we have farms, we have everything except mountains, you know, with swamps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when someone's like, I don't understand because you wrote about beaches, but then you wrote about orange groves, then you write about tractors, and I'm like, we have it all. That's all here.
Welcome to Florida. It's the sunshine.
Yeah. And a lot of people, when they think of Florida, they think of, like, Miami and Party Town and South Beach, but at the same time, there's so much of Florida that's not like that.
Not. It's like you go north of Miami and you're in a completely different country.
I'm in Southwest Florida. I'm 2 hours north of Miami on the other coast. So, which actually, we're supposed to get in a hurricane. I just learned this morning.
You're on the Gulf side?
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're on the Gulf side.
Okay.
And I guess there's a hurricane that's supposed to be coming, like, soon.
Is it?
So I
heard
this morning. Yeah, I don't watch TV anymore, so I kind of miss out
me
on these
either.
Things. So my sister actually had to call me and be like, hey, guess what? But I do watch shows. I just don't watch, like, TV. Like, Yeah.
I'll
watch Outlander.
No, like the, like news? The weather.
Yeah,
yeah, like
my
like
husband
Outlander.
Said something about the about this virus going around with the mosquitoes. What is it called?
Zika. Zika.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So he said something about it. I was like, what's
called
that?
Zika.
And he was like, you seriously don't know what it is? I was like, babe, if it's not on Facebook, I don't even know what it is.
Oh,
well, that's how I feel too, though.
I would tell him, like, if there was a zombie apocalypse, I wouldn't know unless someone posted it on Facebook.
Yeah,
I don't watch
100%
the news.
True. I wouldn't know it either. Yeah, we have a tropical threat.
Horrible.
And, like, the cone of doom is, like, right, goes right through my town.
Well, I guess it's good you're leaving. When's it supposed to hit?
I think this weekend sometime. It doesn't. The hurricanes aren't that big of a deal here. Like,
oh, really?
And it's 100%
true. I mean,
because all the houses are built
4 years ago, but whatever.
Yeah. What hurricane did you go through?
I've been through Andrew. I went through Katrina. I went through all of those right after Andrew. We were, like, flooded for 2 years. So
Andrew, you know what we did for Hurricane Andrew? We sent my dad out for supplies because, you know, I was a little bit younger back in the day. And he came back with, like, Snickers bars.
Lovely.
Like we had Snickers bars, and then we had Hurricane Charlie, which is like probably the worst one we had, which I think is like 10 years ago now, something like that. And that was our power was out for 7 days on that one.
Yeah.
I slept through it though because I drank two bottles of wine by myself. I did good hurricane preparation, like a good Floridian, and I just drank and fell asleep.
That's what you do. Because you have nothing better to do.
I mean,
you
what else
pray
is there
your
to do?
Still there when you wake up.
You don't evacuate
right?
unless it's a 5 and like an extreme flood warning. You know,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
a hurricane. If it's
yeah.
if it's definitely going to be really strong, and the flooding is what gets you, not the actual like wind part. You know, because the houses here are built like pretty cool, so like you don't really have to worry too much about that. Yeah, we're all concrete block construction in like into the ground, and then all the
yeah,
homes that you
sure.
build now. They have hurricane shutters on, so we're pretty set. We don't worry about too much here. I say this
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I think
like,
I mean we're kind of my family's in North Carolina, and you know that's where I spent a lot
yeah.
of my teenage years too. And they get hit a lot, and it was just kind of like, yeah, hurricane's coming, but you know people from out of town would be freaking out like, oh my God, are we gonna suck up and blah blah blah, and we're like, no, it's cool, you know, like you just get the family together and you get candles and cards and alcohol and you have a party.
The best thing you can do when a hurricane is coming is go out, get all your prep stuff. I'm talking like go overboard, get all the water, get buy the most expensive generator they have. Because if you do all that, the hurricane's not going to come.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have it for the next one.
Exactly.
Right, but if you're so not prepared, like it's coming. You know what I mean? If you don't do anything, the hurricane's going to directly land on your house. But if you go out and
yeah.
you do, you know, you buy that $10,000 generator, I guarantee it's not coming. that's how the world works.
That's hurricane proofing 101.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
All right.
But no, hopefully it won't be too bad. If it gets too bad.
I'm going to ask you these questions from the readers so we don't forget
yeah.
or
sure.
we don't run out of time. So the first question is from Elle Jefferson, who is another COPA author. And she wants to know, where in the world did Sam Preppy Clearwater come to you from? But I guess you already answered that with it being your your thoughts.
He was just a voice inside my head. He wasn't supposed to be a character in King, but he was so strong that I really wanted to give him like a body and then make him a person. So he originally just started as the sarcastic voice inside my head. And like I genuinely like have affection for him. Like I love writing about him. It's easy for me, like the way he things, the way he talks, like, comes easy. Like, I don't have to channel him. But I don't know where the rest of it comes from, though. Like, the way he talks, everything is kind of me, but, like, I don't know where the rest of it comes from. I really don't. There was no, like, grand moment where I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to write because of this. It was more gradual.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. The next question is from Carmen. Will there be more books to the King series after Preppy's books?
I haven't 100% decided yet, but I will say that in Preppy's books, for those who have read All the Rage, there's a character in Alderaan named Smoke, and Smoke mm-hmm. does make an appearance in Preppy's books, and Smoke is getting his own book. So I don't
Ooh.
Know if it's really considered like a King book or, you know,
it's like a spinoff, maybe.
More like an All the Rage, you know, series thing. I don't know. I can't let my characters go, so I can't always, like, this is the one series and this is the one series. They all kind of connect in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I'm ready
well,
to let them go.
Well, it's kind of crazy how they, like, you'll start writing one book and, like, create a new character, and then that character builds on a life of its own, and then you're like, oh, let me go off in this direction and this direction. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
cool because they inspire each other.
Yeah. No, I that's what I absolutely love. And I think when you, like, I writing Preppy's girl, too, I learned so much more about him, you know. As her character develops, I learn more about him, and it's the back and forth that makes their character like develop better and better and better the more I write them. So
are you going to drop her name?
Oh yeah, it's her name's Andrea, but she goes by Dre.
Okay.
So Preppy calls her Doc, like Dr. Dre.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So you know what? It's funny in the books. I can never give the girl like one name. They all have like five names.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of just comes naturally. Like Doe and King, she doesn't have a name, so they call her Doe. But she does have a real name. So then she has got her real name.
Yeah.
But then King has a nickname for her, which is Pup. So every girl's got like 16 names.
Lauren wants to know, do you think you will be writing any darker themes in upcoming books?
Some people's definition of dark is different than mine, you know? It depends what your definition of dark is, you know what I mean?
Sure.
For me, there's, like, sexually dark and there's, like, violent dark.
Yeah,
you know, like,
emotionally
the dark
too.
Was dark, but it was not sexually dark, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, like, bondage dark. So I'm going to say yes, because there is a super top secret project that I'm actually working on with another author that is very, very, very slow going because we're both very busy. But it is no holds barred, straight up, dark.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Ooh,
so,
that's interesting.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's
hard to know who it is.
You, like, officially announce it.
We actually want to finish it. Like, the funny thing is I think we have, like, a chapter and a half, maybe. And I think we've been working on it for, like, months. But we just both have so much, you know, things coming up, so it's hard to find the time to do it. But the whole concept is there, and it's solid, and it's very, very, very exciting because it's something different. And we feed off each other, too. So it's good. It's very
cool.
Good.
Well, we look forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's something I definitely look forward to, actually get to share it with people.
Yeah, I have the hardest time, like, keeping secrets and stuff when I'm excited. I'm just like, oh, my God, like, I do cover reveals, like, a year before I even publish. I'm like, oh, my God, look at my cover. It's horrible.
See, I'm
so
the worst. I am, too. Like, when I, because I design my covers. So when I finish the cover and I love it, I send it to, like, 14 people. I'm like, what do you think? What do you think? You know? And then I'll
and
post
then
it in my group like that day.
So more people.
Yeah, and I'll post it in my group like that day. Like, here we go, you know?
Yeah.
This is coming out for like a year, but here you go. Like, Preppies I did early, but only because I really just wanted to let people know that it was coming, you know? That, I mean, it's been up for pre-order for quite some time, only because I just wanted people to have a place to go to, like, make sure they got it.
Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
Yes, I'm the same way. I can't keep covering stuff to myself.
I think it's time to announce the giveaway winner. Are we ready?
I think we are.
All right, let me do my drum roll. Hold on.
Yep, waiting.
Can you hear? There it goes. Look, dude.
You're having
way
too much fun with
that sound
effect. Way too much fun.
Okay, one more time. I mean, that's the best part of Ferris Bueller's Day Out. I mean,
All right. So now, the giveaway winner is Renee Sariol Allard. You are the winner.
Woo!
Yay!
Woo!
Congratulations, Renee!
Awesome.
All right, so Renee, we're going to ask you to get in touch with TM on her author page to get the ball rolling on that.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Yeah.
But
message the author page.
All the rage,
that's
right?
The one.
Mm.
Yes. Signed paperback, All the Rage, personalized if you want. And
nice.
I will get that out when we get back from vacation next week.
I had to fight not to enter the contest. I was like,
well,
it really counts.
It was awesome having you on the show, and we are glad that we caught you before you left on vacation.
Yes.
And next week we're going to have Pam Godwin on the show, so we hope that you
guys
tune in because
I love
we are
her.
Huge
Dark
fans.
Is my favorite
yes.
book of 2016.
Oh my gosh,
what?
Yeah.
Dark Notes is my absolute favorite book of 2016. Wow, I'm going
to
tune in.
I know, and Kelly hasn't even read it yet.
What? Call me out on that, bitch!
No, seriously,
oh, you know I had to
so
give you
good.
Shit. I'm so mad that you haven't read it yet.
So good.
I have a signed copy. I've just been writing 2 books and editing a third. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
Beneath the Burn was
Excuses.
My favorite book of hers up until I read Dark Notes, and Dark Notes, like, oh, my God, it's so good.
I love Beneath the Burn.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like
Pam
total fangirls for Pam. So next week is going to be a mess.
Pam fangirl.
We will be hot messes next week.
I'll send in my questions. They'll be all inappropriate.
Yes, yes, please do.
So we'll look forward to that. All right,
yeah.
Guys.
All right. Thanks
until next week, then.
All right. Thank
Bye.
You guys for having me. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.